97.5 The Fanatic.
PM 97.5 The Fanatic, Rob Motti and Joe Stazak talking Eagles football. And Joe, we talked about this coming in and going in off the bye week. The Eagles are going to face the New England Patriots team coming in here. And I said early in the show, if you're an Eagles fan, you might want to root for the Patriots to win that game tonight, because you don't want them to lose to the Ravens, sit on that loss for a week, and really stew over it, because the Patriots don't like to lose to anybody. Try to correct those mistakes and come in here hungry for a W. You thought a little differently about that, right? You thought it's better for them to win.
No, to lose tonight. To lose tonight.
Okay.
One, right now they're playing, their goal was to go undefeated. Once that goes out the window, I don't think the intensity is there. And also, oftentimes, and this happens in gambling a lot, people think a team coming off a loss is going to rebound and, you know, play lights out the next week. Oftentimes, after that first loss, after a winning streak, the team gets hit again, they lose again. Back in 2015, the Eagles played the Patriots. They won up there in Chip Kelly's last year, three non-offensive touchdowns.
Yeah, Malcolm Jenkins had one of them, right?
And one back. And
punt return?
Darren Sproles, and there was a punt blocked at the end of the first half. The week before that, New England was 10-0. They lose to Denver the week before that.
Oh, yeah.
And then get smacked by the Eagles.
So they lost two in a row.
Two in a row.
And then the Eagles that year, Chip Kelly's last year, they beat New England, they go to five. That was the Eagles coming off consecutive blowouts. Tampa beat them 45-21, Jameis Winston's rookie season. Then they went to the Detroit on a Thanksgiving.
And got killed.
45-14, so they had lost 90-31. They go to New England. I don't know how many point underdogs they had to be going into that one. And, yeah, that was the three non-offensive touchdowns in that game. That was, wasn't it Chris Maragos who blocked the punt?
Oh, was it?
It may have.
Not sure.
Najee Good picked it up.
That's
and ran
right.
It 24
That's
yards.
That's right.
But Sam Bradford had a five-yard touchdown to, and they actually fell behind in that game 14-0.
Yeah, they did. They were down 14-0.
Ertz caught a five-yard touchdown from Sam Bradford. Then Good blocked the punt to tie the game. Then third quarter, Malcolm Jenkins, 99-yard interception return for a 21-14 lead. Darren Sproles, 83-yard punt return for a 28-14 lead. And then Jordan Matthews, a 10-yard touchdown catch to make it 35-14. Didn't that game, didn't Tom Brady have a catch against the Eagles in that game?
Very possibly. I'm not sure.
Tom Brady in that game did have a 36-yard reception.
36-yard catch?
Yeah, he was 29-56, 312, three touchdowns.
56 times he slung the ball. Wow.
Two picks, including the 99-yard. James White, 10 catches for 115 yards
He's
in
amazing.
That game. That's what the Eagles got to do with Miles Sanders.
Amazing.
Right? I look at Miles Sanders as a better, more athletic version of James White. And James White is always catching passes coming out of the backfield, right?
He's great
right?
pass blocking. He can run the ball. He is very creative with his routes.
He's got games this year, 9 catches, 8 catches, 6 catches, 7 catches.
In the game against Atlanta in the Super Bowl, he had 14 catches and the game-winning touchdown on a sweep.
He's
he
got,
should have been the MVP.
He's got more catches this year than rushing attempts.
That's what he does.
And
Sony Michel is their key running back, and James White catches the ball out of the backfield. Sometimes they line him up in the slot.
You got if you do that with Miles Sanders, and you utilize him that way, I think you can have some more success on this offense, because we've seen Miles Sanders catching the ball. It's been the biggest weapon for them now that Deshaun's hurt.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the things they got to do. So you think it behooves the Eagles for the Patriots to lose this football game? Well, in fact, they are. It's 17-0.
A big turnover there, though.
Patriots?
Guy just fumbled the punt. Patriots recover.
Did they?
At the 20.
I believe the Patriots, to that point, had gone 3 and out, 4 and out, three and out.
Baltimore gives them fits.
How about that? Three and out, four and out, three and out. Now they get a huge turnover. They did recover.
They did recover.
At the 20, so now it gives them an opportunity to jump back into that football game. Let's go to Lance in Arizona. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Lance?
Hey, yeah, just a couple of things that I wanted to talk about. First off, with the defense, I thought they played phenomenal in the first half. I thought the second half, their problem is the same problem they've always had. They keep giving up big plays.
Giving up the big play.
This year, they've given up 11 plays of 35 yards or more in 9 games. And if you take out the Jets game and the Bills game where you couldn't do it because of the weather, really, it's 7 games. So, like, you're giving up plays of big yards, like, that allows teams back into it. Like, that was on Malcolm Jenkins. I don't know what he was looking at, but they did the play action. The play action already happened. He was already rolled out, and yeah, he's just sitting in the middle of the field with no one going across the middle of the field. That's a Malcolm Jenkins problem there.
It was. Hey, I can only imagine what Orlando Scandrick was thinking on that.
Hey, it's a selfish move, man.
Hey, by the way, James White, just as we finish saying that, catches a 15-yard pass down to the 5. So, but you're right. But however, Lance, I will say this. Then there was another deep ball. Jalen Mills made a play on it that the Eagles usually don't make.
It was a very good play.
It was a terrific play by Jalen Mills.
It was on Robinson down the sideline.
Yes.
I thought it was already 19-14 at that point, and he made a tremendous play.
It may have been. It was after the other catch, yeah.
So then my other problem with the Eagles is this going on right now. Their red zone defense has been bad the last couple weeks. They're giving up 9 touchdowns out of 12 red zone trips. That's 75%. You cannot be at 75%. If you're going to go and play the Seahawks and the Patriots the next 2 weeks, you're going to get blown out of the building if you're giving up touchdowns and not keeping up the field goals. But my offensive problem is this. The Eagles were running the ball really, really well at the start of that second half. Doug decides and Groh decides we're going to become a passing team because we have Carson Wentz. I love Carson Wentz. But with the receivers you have right now, you cannot be a passing team. You have to be a run-first team to set up the pass and do what you got to do to win games. You almost lost that game because you decided you wanted to get pass happy with a bunch of receivers that just aren't very good. And if I'm the Eagles, Dante Moncrief was released earlier this week. I get he's not that good, but he's as similar to what Torrey Smith was when he was with the Niners.
It's a good comparison.
That's a guy you should bring in. If you want to bring in Jordan Matthews, I guess you can do it, but I know what the offense looks like with Jordan Matthews when we don't have a speed guy, so that's not really going to help you because it's just going to be like last year. So you should go out and get him just simply because even if he just becomes Torrey Smith and that's all he gives you, that's better than what you're getting right now.
Lance, good call. Agree with exactly everything you said about the run first versus pass and Dante Moncrief. That's a great comparison to Torrey Smith, man. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, no problem.
He's right in that with Jordan Matthews, you know what Jordan Matthews is. You know he can give you. And last year he had some clutch catches on third down.
Caught a big touchdown in New Orleans in that game.
Yeah, and you know what Jordan Matthews can do. Is he an upgrade? I think he is.
He's
an upgrade
to what they have, yeah.
But for what they need, someone to stretch the field, somebody like Dante Moncrief, as I think he really does kind of fit that Torrey Smith. He's not a guy who's had a tremendous career. He's not a guy who is going to light it up 10 catches for 150 yards, that kind of guy. But he's had some his last two full season, last 2 years, 18 and 17, because this year he's only played 4 games. He averaged 15 yards per catch and 14 yards per catch.
That's big time.
Stretches it a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's got left. He's only 26 years old. He's not an old guy. He played with Indianapolis for 4 years. Last year he was in Jacksonville. This year he was in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh let him go. Take a look at him. At the very least, I would take a look at a guy like that. And at this point, you got nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose.
It's not going to hurt you to what are you going to do? Put J.J. Arcega-Whiteside inactive, or you just plug him right into if Deshaun's hurt. And maybe they decide that Deshaun's going to go on the IR because he's hurt that bad. I don't know.
What'd you leave yourself with? Because the fact that you counted on Deshaun was an irresponsible decision. Look where they are now. He plays one series. You don't know how long he's going to be out for now. I think the problem never resolves itself because he didn't get it taken care of. And you have no deep threat anymore. You did nothing before the trade deadline. You had opportunities to do that, to at least it's plan B. and you don't have a plan B now. It's unfortunate.
That's
on Howie.
That's all you could do at this point is try and look to find someone that can come in here and be an upgrade. And maybe if the test results come back such that Deshaun's got to be out, then they'll have to they're going to fill the roster spot. I would hope they try and at least look at Dante Moncrief before they go and promote Greg Ward from the practice.
I was just going to say, because that's Greg Ward's next man up.
And he's the next man up, and for as good as Greg Ward is in training camp and in those exhibition games. I don't know that he's going to be your guy.
I thought he should have made the team over Mac Hollins.
Back when
it was a coin flip.
Mac gives them the blocking aspect at wide receiver, and for as much as we criticize in the passing game, I do wonder, without watching the film that intently, Joe, the run game has been solid. The run game has been their strength. How much of a factor is Mac Hollins in helping them run the football that
good
successfully?
Question. Don't know.
You know?
If
the trade-off is take Mac Hollins out, replace him with someone who's not as good of a run blocker, and now the rushing attack takes a backward step, I'm willing to keep Mac Hollins in there, keep running the football, and highlight running the football. Emphasize running the football, because if you take them out and maybe someone's not as good of a blocker, that's about the only thing that I could say that maybe. And then in special teams, he does contribute on all phases of the special teams. All right, we teased it enough. What was Jimmy's acronym, man?
This stemmed from the conversation about Joel Embiid and some things he says in his post-game press conferences. And
some of the things he says on social media.
He drops an F-bomb here and there, and Jimmy calls in. I don't know how true this is, but it kind of makes sense. I have never known the origin of the F-word. He says it dates back to medieval times. fornication under the consent of the king. Now, I've also seen things that from Irish law, if two people committed adultery, it was called unlawful use of, wait, what was it? I forget what the F word meant. Something unuseful. For unlawful
conduct.
Use of.
Yeah. I've heard that one.
Here it is. It's for unuseful carnal knowledge.
Oh.
And in the nude was actually they tacked that on, and now it's F word plus IN.
Jimmy is a educator.
Wowed me yesterday.
This just came up.
We were talking about Joel Embiid. I forget why he tied it in, but he talked about maybe it not being that big a deal, and it's an acronym, and then he unloaded that on us. I thought it was aha moment of the show yesterday.
He was just basically trying to say, hey, lighten up on anybody out there who's giving it to Joel. And I actually covered that game, a rare Sixers game during the week, because I usually don't get to some basketball till the Eagles are over. But I filled in, and I'll tell you what, it was just watching this basketball game, not much happening here, back and forth going. I'm like, Sixers got a nice lead here. This is great, because it'd be easy. Then that happens. The fight happens. I'm like, wow, there's some action. I came to a basketball game. Looks like a hockey game. Yeah, I thought I was at the pond or whatever, down in the room with the boys, and all that's breaking on. It was entertaining, that's for sure. I had to be the reporter who they did the pool report, and I was in there with the referees. So I go interview the referee, the officials, asking them about that incident. And when I asked about Ben Simmons, and he said we deemed him the peacemaker, my eyes lit up. I was like, all right,
really?
Seriously?
Did you watch the video of that?
So Ben's got him on the ground in what looked like a Sergeant Slaughter-like Cobra clutch.
Yeah.
You remember Sergeant Slaughter?
Yeah.
In WWF back in the day? I was torn between that and first I thought, because he's just sitting on his back, maybe it was a camel clutch.
Did not need to have him in a chokehold.
Yeah, and he tapped out.
Yeah, he did.
He was going like this, and he was swinging his feet like it looked like he was under some duress there. and the referees deemed him a peacemaker, and I thought, like, for sure he might get a fine or suspension,
yeah,
but he didn't.
Nothing.
No, the NBA let it go. But, hey, it was nice to see Ben Simmons had his boys back.
Yeah,
he had Joel's back.
Sure.
I thought it was a little excessive, Joel doing the shadow boxing.
It's really unnecessary.
Right?
Someone really has to sit down and talk to him, I think, and it's probably the coach, but I don't think he has the communities to do that. The whole suspension.
Actually, you could say the other word based on Trey's commercial, but no. That's,
right?
Let's keep
How many times has he dropped the N or the B word? I was like, what? Has the FCC not called us yet on this one?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, stick to your terminology,
I drove off the road when I heard it the first time. But the suspension stemmed from the aftermath. The way he handled himself in a conference, calling Towns a schmussy, and the F-bomb, and them going back and forth on social media, calling them names, I'm not your bitch, blah, blah, blah. And Kiki Vandeweghe said it. He's a disciplinarian. He's the Troy Vincent of the NBA. He said this really comes from the aftermath.
Yeah, John Runyon is the NFL guy now. Do you know that?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Troy, but he's the executive vice president to Roger Goodell. Then it's Troy. John Runyon, a guy who used to be considered one of the cheap shot artists in the NFL, is now the guy doling out
hilarious?
The penalties in the NFL.
That is hilarious.
It's crazy how that
is hilarious.
I actually had to have a conversation with him recently. I forget who it was. Somebody. Oh, DeMario Davis.
Yeah.
When DeMario Davis was fined for wearing a Man of God headband, and eventually they overturned that, but I called John Runyon, and I was like, what goes into that? Clearly he's not doing anything. It's a uniform violation. He said, listen, by the letter of the law, you can't wear any kind of, it doesn't matter how, what the statement is that you're making, you can't make a statement on a headband or on your uniform, no matter what it is. So I was like, I get it, that's just the letter of the law, because he's like, okay, what if one guy wants to put something, if we allow this guy to do Man of God headband, somebody's Satanist or something, like they got to have freedom of their own expression. So they say no expression policy on anything on your uniform, and you can't do it on wristbands, can't do it on.
Jim McMahon used to get fined for wearing the Roselle.
He had a few of them. He did.
He was great. I loved him.
Odell Beckham Jr. today had to take his cleats off.
How about that? The clown cleats?
Clown cleats. Yeah. I don't know what the reasoning behind that is. Maybe I'll have to give John Runyon a call and be like, what's up with the clown cleats? Were they thinking he's taking a shot at the officials?
I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe just a uniform violation. I don't know. They have guys that go up and down the sidelines doing that.
You know what he said, actually? Runyon told me that most of the time, they have two guys at each stadium.
Yeah.
But most of the time, the violations are caught on TV.
Is that right?
They catch them more on TV.
Sure.
And usually it's the camera catches, and you got to be in like view of whatever's happening, whether there's a score, whether there's a touchdown. He's like, because most of the time, the guys who are the spotters, the guys who are looking for this, they only see a guy from behind.
Right.
So if you have something on from the front, they have a hard time on the field seeing it. So they catch it on the replays, or they
How
catch it
that?
On TV.
Okay.
So,
good knowledge.
You're always being watched. Always being
always
watched.
Always a camera on you. You got to conduct yourself that way.
17-0 to 17-7, Joe. That turnover turned into a short touchdown.
And it's 17 now? It's not 10-7?
No, it's 17-7, yeah.
I must have missed a touchdown.
Oh, it was 17-0. You missed it.
Missed a touchdown.
You missed it. Yeah, did he go?
I thought it was 10-0.
No, it was 17-0, and then it became 17-7.
Wow.
Yeah, it was Lamar Jackson had a 3-yard run. Then Tucker kicked the 39-yard field goal. Then Edwards ran for 12 yards to make it 17-0.
Wow.
So the fumble came after that. But it's now 17-7, and New England, did they just get a first down?
Yeah.
I think they got a first down.
No,
so.
Second and five.
So it's still going to be I think it's a long way from being decided here. But, hey, you think it's better for the Eagles if they lose this
I
one
do.
And come in setting up that scenario like you did, like you said, like in 2015 where they came off 10-0 and lost
back-to-back games.
I'd be weary of Bill Belichick coming off a bye week and a loss doing over.
Well, the bye week hurts.
Yeah.
The bye week hurts.
Let's get Dan in Omaha. You're on I-75 The Fanatic. What's up, Dan?
Yo, Rob, what's up, man?
Hi, Dan.
How are you, buddy?
Hey, you know, so today I heard a lot going on, and I didn't get to watch the game at all. I just had to kind of keep checking on my phone. So just to give you a heads up, I may not know what I'm talking about.
Don't worry. It doesn't stop anybody from talking about it.
But I got to tell you, as much as we feel like we needed the game today, the Bears absolutely needed today.
Yeah, they did.
And so the fact that we won, and I've been listening to your guys' show most of the evening, and it kind of sounds like most people aren't, you know, we weren't very impressed with how we look. If you would have told me going into the day that we would not look good and we'd still beat this team that's desperate, I mean, they needed a way worse than we needed today. So I'm happy. I feel good. I get that we have, you know, our issues, you know, but I think 6-1, 5-2 is very doable here on out. And as long as we beat, you know, the big game is that Dallas game in December.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm feeling pretty confident about everything. So
5-2 is doable, and if that one of those two isn't the Dallas game, they could very well win the division. At 10-6, based on what Joe's got Dallas losing three more games, I got them losing at least two, maybe three, so we both got them at either 6 or 7 losses. Eagles go 10-6 and don't lose to Dallas, they're going to the playoffs as NFC East champions.
Yeah, they are.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
Dan, I'm with you. I thought it was a pretty good win, but it's been completely the opposite in terms of the reaction to it. I mean, Carson Wentz was good. They ran the ball well. The defense was lights out in the first half. It had its ups and downs. I mean, they went a little cold offensively, 5 out of the next 6 drives since that touchdown in the first half, but you know, when they needed to, they put together a drive. I will give Carson Wentz credit for this. To me, it was as good as a fourth quarter comeback, that last drive.
Great drive.
It was a great drive. He completed 4 third down passes to 4 different guys, kept moving the chains, took off over 8 minutes of the clock, and, you know, gave the ball back to Chicago with like 27 seconds left, and then they spit up the kick, and that was it.
Absolutely. I know I'm not saying different than I've heard this week, but I'm going to repeat it. He is not, Carson, that is, like, he is not, maybe he holds on the ball too long every now and then, but when has he thrown a terrible pick? I can't think of one.
He doesn't throw a lot of picks.
I can't think of it.
Hey, 15 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Good stuff, Dan. Appreciate the call, man. Thank you. Have a great night. 15 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He's not turning the ball over. Yeah, sometimes he's holding the ball too long. Yeah, sometimes he's missing open guys. More often than not, he's getting drops. Today, he completed 67% of his passes and had at least 5 drops. I go 3 by Alshon.
3 by Alshon, at least.
There was 1 Sproles.
Sproles had 1.
And I thought 1 Nelson had.
Okay, that's about right.
Close.
That's about right.
Yeah, so it's at least 4. So you go 4 drops, 5 drops.
All right, in his career, 85 touchdowns, 27 picks. That's a good ratio.
That's incredible.
That's a really good ratio.
That is a great. Hey, when you're not turning the football over, that's always a key good thing for the offense. 610-632-0975. Eagles got a big win today. It was a good win. It was a much needed win. And now they ride into the bye week at 5-4. Patriots and Seahawks come to town. They split those and run the table, or they go 5-2 the rest of the way. They're going to win this division. They have a chance. They're right there in it. Yeah, there were some negatives, but there were some positives. How you feeling about this? He's Joe Stazak. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5
The Fanatic. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Rob Motti, Joe Stazak taking you till 11 p.m. Eagles win today. They beat the Bears 22-14. Good game offensively out of the running backs. You got Jordan Howard against his former team. He said afterwards, Joe, he was a little more talkative, more trash talking. Usually Jordan Howard's a quiet dude.
Really
quiet guy. He said there was a lot more back and forth with the other guys, his former teammates. He ran for 82 yards, another touchdown, had a 17-yard run, 19 carries, 4.3 average. Miles Sanders, 4.2, 10 for 42. Miles Sanders also added 31 on the ground, including one of those big third-down plays. Now, you said something before the break about that 8-minute, 16-play, 69-yard drive for 8 minutes and 14 seconds in the fourth quarter when the Eagles were up 19-14, and that set up a field goal to make it a 22-14 game. But more importantly, they didn't give the ball back till there was 25 seconds left.
Yeah.
They converted 4 third downs. Yep. There was a 3rd and 3, 4-yard pass, 4-yard out to Zach Ertz. Perfectly thrown, perfectly run route. Zach Ertz went for 4 yards, not 2 yards. We've seen before where he's been short on some of these big-time third down or whatever. This time, 4 yards. He got it. There was a 3rd and 3 to Alshon Jeffrey, who had dropped a couple on third down. This one, he caught it tough over the middle, contested, took a hit, 13 yards. Then there were the 2 screens, 3rd and 12 to Miles Sanders for 15, 3rd and 9 to Dallas Goedert for 16. I thought Carson Wentz engineered a terrific drive, and you likened it to, you compared it to actually having a game-winning drive in a fourth quarter. That
was,
kind of situation.
That was good.
So why would you equate it that way?
Because it was hairy. You give the ball back with 7-6 minutes left to a team that has put together a couple touchdown plays with a couple big plays. You don't want to do that, you know, especially when the momentum had shifted. You put together a drive like that, just keep the ball away from the other team, and it resulted in a field goal that put the game away. It was a nail in the coffin.
Yeah, essentially it's a game-winning drive.
It's a game-winning drive to me.
You don't have the pressure of having to score a touchdown,
right,
but you have the pressure of, we don't want to give the ball back, we got the lead, and hey, they did it. They were able to hold on to it, and I give them tremendous credit for that, because when they needed it most, they came through. They needed it there, they delivered, and that was a big-time drive by the offense. 2 weeks in a row, really, because against Buffalo last week, they had a big, it was right around 8 minutes, wasn't
it? Right.
It was a bigger lead in that game.
Yep, and it was a long drive that resulted in a touchdown.
I just realized I had a 24-16 score today, Eagles win.
I had 24-13.
8 points.
Yeah.
And it was 22-14, so it was 8 points.
Yeah, look at you.
Right there. That's nice. 2 weeks in a row I get these. And
Very good.
You ain't going to like what I pick in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm telling you now, I'm picking the Patriots. The only decision I have to make right now is if the Patriots lose tonight or if they win tonight, what the score I will pick for the next one. I got a feeling, though, if they lose this game, Joe, based on the stats you gave us, and Dylan also mentioned this, and I checked back to last year when the Patriots, although they were Super Bowl champions, lost 5 games. 2 times they had back-to-back losses.
Yeah.
Week 2 to Jacksonville on the road. Week 3 to Detroit on the road. They fell to 1-2. Then later in the year, at 9-3, they had the Kenyon Drake miracle play.
Miracle in Miami.
They lose to Miami on the kickoff that was lateraled 100 times. And then the following week on the road, so these were all on the road, they lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Wow, they were 3-5 on the road last year.
How about that?
And
still win the whole thing.
And then they win the big one on the road in the NFC Championship.
Yeah.
So they had 2 back-to-back losses last year, which is more ammunition for your stat right there that maybe they lose this game.
Now, having said that, they'll probably like put up like 42 points and, you know, win like 42-11, something like that.
They're coming back in this one. It's 17-10 now. They did miss a golden opportunity, though. They had a turnover. How about that? They had a turnover inside the 10.
Who did?
Baltimore turned it over
and did not
at
score?
Their own 10.
Oh, at their own 10.
So New England had a first and goal at the 7.
And didn't punch it in.
They had to settle for a field goal. So that's huge.
It's interesting. Because other than that, 10. Baltimore's owned the first half.
And
to be only down 7's pretty good.
But I said earlier, I thought that the Eagles could run the football against this Patriots team. Nick Chubb had over 100 yards against them the other day. Mark Ingram already has 97 in the first half.
How about that?
53 of those on a first on one long run. But he's got 97, Lamar Jackson 41, Edwards with 16. So, hey, I think it's the recipe for the Eagles no matter who they're playing. But if you're looking for a glimmer of hope against a team like the Patriots, run the football against them, control the clock, I think they have an opportunity in that football game. But that's what they have to do from here on out. And I think what Doug Peterson, he said, listen, over this next week, the players can go to Hawaii and the players can go to Turks and K. They can go wherever they want to. Coaches are going to be in there self-scouting, looking at tape, breaking things down, trying to figure, how do we get better? Peterson talked about maybe changing up some different things, and the things that he highlighted were third downs. They got to get better at third downs, fast starts, and maybe change up some of their practice. I don't necessarily think they're going to actually do that because they've practiced one way for a few years and been successful. But, hey, maybe he looks at it and starts to get more creative. I think there's a lot of room for creativity within the run game. How they run the football, how they can scheme up different plays, how can they design different run plays to where it looks like they're passing the football instead of running the football. So I think there's a lot that they can do that they can work with, but you agree, right? If you run the football with this offensive line and the weapons they have, they can win some football games here going down the stretch.
If they can continue to run consistently. Let me ask you something. Were you happy with 31 rushes today?
I wanted to see more, though.
Did you?
I'll be honest.
You really wanted to see more?
Because there was, after the touchdown drive in the second quarter, in the third quarter, those next two possessions, they only ran once. So at that
point, a little weird.
Right? Yeah. At that point, you had a 19-0 lead, and I'm not sure if the Bears had scored the very next one. I think they did to make it 19-7.
They did.
So now you got a possession where it's 19-7. You just ran well, run the ball, and instead they didn't. They went three and out, three passes. And then the next time, they only ran the ball one time to Jordan Howard. So I thought maybe they could have been at 35. Rushes somewhere around there.
On the last drive, though, they ran the ball 11 out of 16 times out of 16 plays.
Was it 11?
They ran 11 times.
Yeah, that was well done.
Obviously trying to shorten the game.
But that was very well done.
Very well done. Combined with Wentz hitting those third down plays.
And you know what's even better about that drive, having success running the football, is because you're doing it at a time when the defense knows you're going to run the football.
Sure.
They know you're trying to run out the clock. It's the fourth quarter.
As you will.
And when you kind of like last week against Buffalo, they were able to run the ball and run it successfully in the fourth quarter when that defense knew they were running the football. And when you have success doing that, you know you're dominating the line of scrimmage.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good thing. That's not like running the football in the first quarter, second quarter, they know you're running and they still can't stop you.
Yeah. Imposing your will.
If you can do that and you can continue to do that, this team can win football games despite the fact that their wide receivers are
stink.
They're below mediocre.
Yeah.
You're probably right.
It's brutal, man. Brutal situation. It's a shame because you have a thoroughbred quarterback.
We're going to hear now all week. All week, because it's the bye week, on this station, people are going to be calling up. What are they going to do to get another wide receiver in there?
Good luck.
What are you going to do? Dante Moncrief is the hot name now because he's just recently become available. And Lance just called up and compared him to Torrey Smith. I like it. It's a good comparison. Jordan Matthews is out there. Jordan Matthews, we know what he is. You know what Jordan Matthews won't do, though? He won't come here drop passes and then anonymously bash the quarterback. That won't happen.
He's got to shut his mouth, Alshon. If that's him, and then all indications are it's him, he's got to shut his mouth. I'm still not over the drop last year in the New Orleans game. If you're going to do that and cost your team a chance at the NFC title game, shut your mouth.
He was forgiven quite
quickly. Oh, my God,
he
got off easy. He got off easy.
I was actually surprised for this city that Alshon got off that easy.
They went light on him big time. Yeah. I didn't, but everyone else did. I was so you're going to do that. You got a break. Shut your mouth. Just go out and play. Stop complaining about something. You have no right to complain about anything. You cost your team a chance to go to the NFC title game.
If you're catching every ball thrown at you, it's one thing.
That's exactly right. And he also, earlier that year, said he's got the best hands in the league. Karma comes back, kicks him in the ass.
I don't remember that comment.
Yeah, he did.
He said he had the best
hands
year?
In the league. Yeah.
I didn't remember that comment. Mm-hmm. About that? Well, 610-632-0975. We're going to hear a lot of names. People are going to, because you can't make trades now. You got to look on the scrap heap. You got to look out there, and people are going to, listen, Antonio Brown is not walking through that door because the Eagles understand the NFL still investigating his situation. You know what? I'm going to check into this week, Joe. I got to check into it with the NFL and see, hey, what's going on? Like, how much longer are they waiting for him to sign before you announce any kind of suspension? Because it would only be right for all 32 teams out there that I would say the Steelers, the Raiders and the Patriots wouldn't consider them. So no. 29 teams, right?
Is it pending the rape allegations in that lawsuit?
I don't know. Okay. They're investigating.
Right.
You know how they do their own investigations.
Sure.
And I know they did have conversations with the woman, so she was interviewed. Other than that, I don't know where they stand, so I got to check into that. 610-632-0975. We got some open lines talking Eagles, Bears. What do you think of this team as they head into the bye week at 5-4 with a chance if the Giants beat Dallas tomorrow night to have a half game lead in the NFC East? He's Joe Stazak. I'm Rob Motti. 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.946 and 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob Motti and Joe Stazak taking you till 11 p.m. Eagles beat the Chicago Bears 22-14. How about these numbers for Mitchell Trubisky? 10 of 21. 125 yards, no turnovers, 66.6 passer rating. Man, are they not regretting that decision?
So bad.
Unbelievable.
So bad.
You got Mitchell Trubisky when you could have had Deshaun Watson.
That gets
Patrick
general manager
Mahomes.
Fired.
Ryan Pace has got to be on a hot seat.
Got to be with that move.
He's absolutely got to be on a hot seat. And the Eagles' defense, first 5 possessions today, came out there, held them to 3 and out. They had some sacks. Brandon Graham got number 6. But Jannard Avery and Malcolm Jenkins sharing a sack. Avery, welcome to Philly.
Yeah,
get your uniform on. Number 58, go on out there and play. Josh Sweat with a sack that Derek Barnett set that one up. He almost had him. And Trubisky was staggering, and he went right into Josh Sweat's hands. And who was the other one on? You had Graham, you had the one. Oh, they had 3. So they had the one that was a half a sack.
Right.
And the Bears got to Carson 4 times.
4 times, that's way too much.
Yeah, it is. He didn't take a lot of hits. There was the late hit that I thought was very It's very weak. It wasn't that egregious of a late hit, but it helped because it was a fourth.
Boy, that was big.
It was a fourth and one play to Mac Collins,
huge.
The only target he had, and it was incomplete. Did they just run the ball on third down? They did.
Yes, they did.
Third and goal.
What do you do here? You go for this?
Yeah, you go for it. You got to, right? Third and goal with under 15 seconds left, and they ran the football from the six.
And almost scored.
And took it to, what'd they do, take it to the five?
No, it's at the one.
At the one?
Yeah, it's James White again. He does everything.
He tripped. He would have gone in?
He would have gone in. He tripped.
How about
right
that?
Right there.
And he just came up with a nice
long pass. Whoa. He wasn't touched.
That's a touchdown.
That should be a touchdown, Dylan.
That's a touchdown.
He was never touched.
Never touched. Watch this.
He trips.
Goes down right there.
Nobody touches him.
It's close. If not, it's at the half 6-inch line.
Because he
might have touched his rear end. Either,
if he's not in, you got to go for it. I go for it.
Absolutely. Where they are now, he's going to be at the six-inch line.
After you're down 17-0 with a chance to go 17-17 at the half.
Touched him right there, so he's at the 6-inch line.
He's at the 6-inch line?
Yep.
Sneak it, right? You sneak
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Yeah. Brady right up the middle.
Which is the play that Patrick Mahomes got hurt on.
Yeah, can you believe that?
They do that. And looking around the league today, there were I was at the Eagles game covering that game, so I couldn't watch a lot of football. But Pittsburgh comes back. Jacoby Brissett is hurt. Pittsburgh beats Indianapolis. Adam Vinatieri, who hit a game-winning 55-yarder last week. How about that?
Yep.
Today, missed one from, I think it was 43. He missed the run around there. Miami gets their first win. Kansas City with Matt Moore beats Kirk Cousins and the Vikings 26-23. Carolina 30-20 over Tennessee. Buffalo 24-9 over Washington. In London, the Texans beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 26-3. And you had Denver beating Cleveland 24-19.
Boy, that team's a mess.
They're a four-point favorite.
I got to be honest.
I don't have any problem watching the Cleveland Browns lose.
I don't either. No, I'm cool with it. They talked a lot of smack before they won anything.
Before they did anything. Before they were, they haven't even had a 500 season, and all of a sudden people got them in the Super Bowl as the chic pick in the AFC. What have they done? And
nothing.
Here they are. What are they now? 2-6?
Yeah.
Are they 2-6? 2-5, 2-6
Baker
now?
Baker did 13 commercials this offseason and four. And four. Why is the kicker out there? He's got more commercials than touchdowns. Yeah, absolutely.
That's crazy.
They got their kicker out there, so they're going to kick this if it's not at the 6-inch line.
No way.
I think that's crazy.
I'm surprised Belichick would.
Yeah.
You're playing the Ravens on the road. You want to get the points, but going into the halftime,
if they're that close, you sneak it to Brady. You don't stop that.
That's automatic for Brady.
You would think.
Did they say the play stands? How do you look at the replay and say the play stands?
They don't even move it up a couple inches.
That's my point. No, that's awful.
I can't believe Belichick's not going for it here. They're going to go for a 19-yard field goal.
Who are the morons looking at this, reviewing this? Because that bothers me more than anything in replay. And I like replay. I think it has its place. But when you review something, it still missed the call. That was awful.
They really kicked the field goal.
They did.
I would understand that at home. But on the road, when you're losing, playing a team that's a good football team like Baltimore with the ability to control the clock by running the football as well as they do, at the half, was it at the inch line or was it the one?
No, it wasn't at the inch line. They didn't move it up. It was probably the one.
Oh, they kept it at the one.
Yeah. If it's the inch line or 6-inch line, you sneak it.
What does that stat say right there?
Chance of winning if they...
It's gone.
46%.
46%. How about that? Well, it's 17-13. It was 17-0.
Made it a ball game.
Yeah. It's in, I believe, Buffalo. They get the ball. New England gets the ball to start the second half.
All right.
So, I have no doubt in my mind Doug Peterson goes for it in that situation, don't you think?
Agreed.
I don't think Doug
Peterson.
It's
not even a decision.
Yeah. Doug EP goes for it. They may not get it, but Doug. They may do a pitch instead of straight up the middle. They may do some kind of wacky bubble screen on the fourth and goal from the one. I'm not confident in the play call, but I'm confident that Doug EP would have gone for it there. Oh, don't tell me he's breaking it loose. No, all right. Okay, bring that back. So that'd be 17-13 at halftime. How about that? Well. We'll see how this turns out. Green Bay losing today to the Chargers was
pummeled.
That was a surprise. That was absolutely a surprise. Aaron Rodgers struggled. The pass game struggled. He was 23 of 35, but they only had 161 yards. And Devontae Adams was back today. It's not like he didn't have his best guy out there.
He was 6 of 9 in the first half for 35 yards. First of all, how do you only throw it 9 times with Aaron Rodgers?
Did they not
35
have
35 yards?
Was time of possession skewed?
Must have been that bad.
It had to be.
9 passes.
That you only, well, the time overall time of possession was 36-24.
Okay.
So they didn't have the ball, so they only they ran. How many plays did they run? They ran total plays. They only had the ball 24 minutes. So, but eventually ended up throwing the ball 35 times. They got outgained 442-184.
Wow.
Eagles are gonna move up in the defensive rankings after holding the Bears to 164 yards.
Yeah, 9 yards in the first half. When did you ever see that?
And before that last drive, they were minus 10. Over the first 5 possessions, they were minus 10 yards.
It was that bad.
At one point, they had no first downs, no points, and 8 penalties. The Bears committed 8 penalties before they got a first down.
Wow.
They settled down after that and only had one more penalty the rest of the way.
Yeah, they did. They had 9.
But they had 8 at one point, and I was like, what is going on?
Well, 102 yards passing. Wentz's cadence was great. He drew them off 4 times in the first half.
Was it 4 times?
4 times in the first half.
Man.
It went off sides.
That's lack of discipline, too.
Yeah, big time.
You got to see that's for sure. But that's where they got their early in the they dominated on defense, and that's how they led them to victory. Came back and had to do it with a big drive at the end. 610-632-0975. We got some open lines. One more hour to talk about this Eagles-Bears win, the bye week coming up, and what you think about this football team. He's Joe Stazak. I'm Rob Motti, 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.